In the worlds of literature and the arts, there were some legendary relationships that went beyond mutual professional admiration, Dashiell Hammett and Lillian Hellman, for example. Others were rooted in work, Max Perkins and a legion of famed authors. In her new book, A Chance Meeting, Rachel Cohen examines some of the small but close encounters between dozens of American writers and artists from 1854 to 1967. Novelist Henry James and photographer Matthew Brady. Matthew Brady and General Ulysses S. Grant, General Grant, and Mark Twain. She says the idea for the book came to her while she was trying to get another project, a travelogue, off the ground.
I went to Vicksburg and I bought the memoirs of Ulysses Grant, and I found that they'd been published by Mark Twain. And I just thought that was the strangest thing. It opened a whole world to me. And I then spent several years trying to write the story of that friendship, and from that friendship came other friendships.
Now, how is it that Mark Twain entered General Grant's life?
Well, he was first taken to meet him by a senator who knew Grant. Grant was then president. But they really came to know each other well later in their lives, when Grant was having financial difficulties and Twain became a really important friend to him.
How did Willa Cather and Mark Twain get together?
Willa Cather first went to Mark Twain's 70th birthday party. At that time, she was a little-known magazine writer, and he was obviously the famous Mark Twain. And then later she moved to New York, and she started going to visit him at his house downtown on Fifth Avenue, and she would sometimes she would read to him, and they would talk. And he would tell stories.
Mm. Do you have a favorite encounter? I mean, one which surprised you?
I am fond of so many of them, but there were some that were just so surprising, like the fact that Marianne Moore, the illustrious poet, met Norman Mailer after a boxing match. That just knocked my socks off when I read it. It seemed like such an odd encounter and so vivid. But then I also really like the quiet, sustaining ones, like Sarah Orne Jewett and Annie Adams Fields going to visit Henry James at his house in Rye, and them going and having tea afterward.
Hmm. Elaborate on how Norman Mailer met Marianne Moore after the boxing match.
Well, Marianne Moore had been taken to the fights by George Plimpton, and afterwards everybody went to Toots Shores, because that's where you went. Before they sat down, George Plimpton said, "Oh, we'll just go over here because I want you to meet Norman Mailer." And so they were introduced, and Marianne Moore found Norman Mailer very charismatic and attractive. She was very interested in him. And when she went home that night, she made a point of reading a couple of his articles, and she wrote to her brother that she'd met somebody really interesting. And actually, Norman Mailer read that piece and told me that he had not realized that he'd had much of an effect on Marianne Moore, and was pleased to find out later that he had.
Hmm. Do you think it's really unusual that these luminaries should have contact with one another? I mean, it seems a given that celebrities move in the same circles.
I think it is usual. It is, and actually part of what interested me was how usual it is, that it's so human to have friends, and it's so important to be supported in one way or another in trying to do artistic work. And so I really wanted to look at the kinds of relationships that people have normally all the time.
Mm. Why did you stop at 1967?
Well, the frame of the book is to start just before the Civil War and to end in the time of the Civil Rights Movement. Everything in the book is paired in one way or another. There are always two perspectives on everything, two people in every situation. And so I was partly thinking about history in that same way, of kind of pairing the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement. And then I didn't want to come all the way to the present moment, because for me the distance of history was really important in allowing me scope for my own imagination.
You did employ your imagination in here. You do create scenes that may or may not have happened. I mean, you use reference books, you use autobiographies, you use biographies, you use the artist's work. But then, for example, in the chapter about Henry James and his father going to have their picture taken by Matthew Brady, you have them stopping at an ice cream parlor, you know, and getting an ice cream, which is something that they might have done, but something you don't know for sure.
Exactly.
Well, when did you know how far to take your imagination with these real characters?
I tried to do things that felt very close to the real integrity of their personalities. For example, I thought that it was important to Marianne Moore that people be on time. I had a feeling about that, and I started to write about Elizabeth Bishop being worried that she was late to meet Marianne Moore. And then in George Plimpton's essay about Marianne Moore, he says that she always wore two watches because she was so obsessed with time. So then I thought, okay, really now I know that I have the right setting and the right feeling for this. I have chosen a quality of this person that's genuinely characteristic. Mm. But it was difficult to make those decisions. I was always going back and forth about whether I really had the right amount of imagination.
Rachel Cohen is the author of A Chance Meeting, Intertwined Lives of American Writers and Artists, 1854 to 1967. It's published by Random House, and she joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you.